Hi, and welcome back to another episode of the Body Groovers Club. I am so honored to bring you today's guest. Not only is Shanae a graduate of my Body Groovers group, but she is also a friend and colleague, and we're going to talk about plus size love. And I'm just so excited to get into her love story. You're all going to love this. And so I'm going to let Shanae introduce herself. So tell us about yourself.
Hey, y'all. My name is Shanae Pallone, and I am a Texas native, still living the Texas life. And I work in healthcare here and really stumbled into body image work when I was pushed into it by confronting some of my own health issues. And in working to work on my own health, I discovered that it doesn't have to be the way my PCP said it had to be, and that health comes in more than one prescriptive way. And through that, I found eating disorder dietitian and a therapist and an online community of folks looking to repair their body image. And that's how I met Bree.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You've been with me. I mean, you did my very, very, very first group. It was a long time ago. So tell the people what you do.
I'm a nurse practitioner.
And why we brought you on today is because we want to talk about, and you named this episode, plus size love. Backing up a little bit. When you joined the Body Groovers group, now you and I had done some work before that. Mm-hmm. And then when we did the body group, what was still grieving you about your body at that point?
I think at that point, one of the things that still was like a hurdle was how others perceived me, especially in dating and relationships. And I felt like my body was something I had to constantly apologize for and make excuses for and accept concessions for, or accept less than in a partner, because my body wasn't the ideal I was told I was supposed to have. Through the culture I grew up in, through the faith I grew up in, but just by living in our society, that because my body didn't look like the ideal body or even the ideal plus size body, that I guess if they're going to tolerate you, then you can really like get over there, fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. And those are some things that probably shouldn't have been negotiables. In the process of doing group work, just really was looking at some of the physical aspects of how to make peace with my body and living in a world that isn't always kind to folks who live in larger bodies.
Yeah.
And if I could find compassion towards myself, it'd be a lot easier to accept love and compassion from somebody else, because it's really hard to accept kindness from somebody else when you're very unkind to yourself.
Totally. That's the crux of what we talk about in the Body Groovers group, because I know from my own story of when I started realizing, wow, I am so self-critical. It is hard to even imagine someone else not being critical of me because of how critical I am of myself. And if you've always been self-critical, or you can't remember the last time you weren't, that's an old wound. It's a story that's going to keep playing until we acknowledge it, we bring awareness to it, and we change that story. And we were together for a really long time. But I remember there was a point, and I remember you coming to group and you just being like, I don't want to do the dating thing. Like, I'm over it. It's stupid. I hate it. I'm done. Do you remember that?
I do. I can't say exactly when it was, but I remember expressing that sentiment because it had been a string of awful dates. Like, using dating apps, for anybody who's done it, it's a lot of work to like filter through, like, is this a bot? Is this a human? This person, are they just really unkind? Do they seem nice at first? Do you go on that one date and you think it's going to be great and they ghost you? Or you realize that they only went out with you because they want to check the box on their list that they've dated a fat person, or accidentally ending up on a date with a fetishist who wanted to watch me eat, and wading through the muck and the icky feelings that go with that of, this person can't see me for more than the body I present, when I know I bring a ton more to the table. And realizing too that even my behavior, I was making concessions and compensations and overdoing it in other ways, being overly accommodating, being overly nice, overly flexible, spending way too much money to be enough. Because my body was something that they had to deal with. So I better bring something else really great to the table.
Right. It's like that worthiness piece of, yeah, I exist in a larger body, but I am so helpful. I'm smart. I have all of these things. And one of the things that I continue to find with folks who are on a body grief journey, especially in my body grievers group, I rub shoulders with some of the smartest, most intelligent individuals I've ever met. Super educated. And then at the same time, they are also some of the most self-critical and self-doubting people that also ever met. Dating in a larger body is hard because we have to weed out the people who are fetishizing, the people who are just there to be cruel. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but I certainly have, of people matching with me just to tell me that my body is disgusting to them. And so I want to hold space that dating, especially as a fat person, is hard. And just because we haven't had success with it doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. And that is where your story comes in, because you are evidence that it works. So tell us a little bit about finding the love of your life.
Well, it was 2020, early September. We were wrapping up a group working together, and you told me about this app that was gaining popularity in the United States. I've heard of that before. Meh, not going to do it. And I decided one day, okay, fine, I will try again. Like, I think I can do this. I've taken a break and I feel like I'm ready to do this again. I was hopeful that the world may be changing and we could go back out in the world again. And so I joined an app. I've been on the app a couple weeks and there was this one of this guy with one picture, shoulders up, wearing a ball cap, very sparse profile. I was like, oh, he looks nice. Sure. Swipe whatever direction it was to match. And later that day, I get a message through the app. Hey, Shanae, my name's Tim. How you doing today? And it started a conversation. And we talked via the app for about a day and a half before I came back to the app after work. And there was a message from him. It's been great talking to you. I hope you text me or call me. And by that point, his profile was gone. I Googled him by this point, too, and like read all the articles that came up on page one. Because of his profession, you know, he had had some stuff published. So I texted him. And that was a Wednesday. We had dinner on Friday. And we kept seeing each other.
Hold on. His profile was gone.
Gone. Like, I couldn't even take a screen grab of the picture. I've only seen that picture since because I've gone through his phone and found the one he used.
I watch way too much crime TV. But I would have been like, this is a stalker, murderer. Also, one picture, that's usually, I'm like, nope, not doing it if you only have one picture. And look at you. You're making me rethink.
I think what the difference was we had actual genuine conversation via the app. And I insisted we keep it on the app for a bit until he gave me his number. It was so corny. But also, it was sweet. It was genuine. It was a banter of a conversation. And I was like, okay, he's putting some work into this. There was some effort. There was some care. He took some time to read my profile, had commentary to say about the things I said that were interesting or ask questions if he didn't know what it was. So I feel safe moving forward with seeing this person in real life or even exchanging phone numbers. I had high confidence that would lead to further conversation in an appropriate manner via the telephone.
Did you ever experience that feeling confident when talking with somebody on the app, feeling like, yeah, this is going to be great. Like, this is good.
A few times before, and then it quickly fizzled. Mm. Give out the phone number, and then you're like, oh, That's what you wanted it for.
When did you realize that Tim was your guy? When did you realize that this is the man that you've been waiting for?
So I went into the first date with the kind of optimism I had for a lot of first dates of like, okay, I feel good about this. On that first date, we had dinner. It was nice, had a good conversation. And we went to leave. And my car was blocked in the parking lot by a food truck and a line of people waiting for the food truck. And 100 people on bicycles.
Oh my gosh, stop. That's not real.
Yes. So we couldn't leave. Pretty sure he could have gotten out of the parking lot. He's like, I'm not leaving you here.
Wow.
So we walked. We walked around the shopping center. It's pedestrian shops and places sure. to sit and chat. And oddly enough, halfway through that, I got a text message from a colleague who's like, hey, I need you to present at this conference on that like diet thing you were always talking about, i.e. weight inclusive healthcare for the primary care clinician.
Wow.
I'm like, I'm so sorry, Tim. I don't normally check my phone, but it was like blowing up.
Yeah.
And she was like, commit, we're doing the program right now. So it turned into this very long conversation with him about this fringe thing that I feel like he may not have been interested in. And I just kind of laid it all on the line of like, this is what I do, and this is why it's important. And I think weight inclusive healthcare is important. It's a right that everybody has, and this is the harms it causes. And he was really like laying on the line. And I probably even cried a little bit, if I remember correctly, because I was a little overcome with the emotion of all of these things lining up. A lot of things had happened in that like 24 hours, and it was pretty amazing. And then I'm on this date with this guy who seems really nice. And we finished, and he walked me back to my car, gave me a bag of candy corn, because we had talked about that in our chat. How's the only acceptable fall candy? And I went on my merry way, thinking, I just really overwhelmed this guy with a whole lot of stuff. He's either going to be into it or he's going to think I'm a weirdo. I got a text that night, 45 minutes or so later. And then we talked all weekend, and then just slowly realized that there is more to this. And we joke that by day 16, I knew that there was something really, really special about him. But also I was terrified because I thought I had felt this way about other people before. So it's balancing the hope and the heartache of throwing eggs in the hope basket, but also keeping part of myself back internally of, I don't know what's going to happen here. And just kind of waiting for either shoe to drop for a while. And it was a scary, scary feeling to realize I really, really like this guy. I think I might love this guy, but what's the catch? And he just kept showing up in the most beautiful, wonderful, tender ways, in the most vulnerable ways, in the most creative ways. And he still does today.
Wow. It's so beautiful. And you've done the thing. You put yourself out there. You've been hurt. Then you keep doing it. You keep doing it knowing this could combust at some point. And it didn't. It flourished.
Isn't that what dating is, though? Yeah. Regardless of the size of your body, you put yourself out there. Yeah. Either it combust or it's going to flourish. And I think that feeling sometimes gets so amped up because we're already on high alert. Because living in a larger body, I always found myself on high alert, waiting to be rejected because I saw myself as a flaw. So then the natural ebb and flow of dating, which happens, feels even more amplified because this other thing is the big, bad, scary in the corner because we haven't yet found compassion and kindness with ourselves. And my thought was, they rejected me because of my body. Mm-hmm. No, there were a few people that I met that were lovely. We just weren't a good fit for each other. We had fundamental value differences. We wanted different things in life. And it just ended. Yeah. And that's okay. But that's what relationships are.
Yeah. I had done a drop-in Q&A on fat love and dating. And one of the questions that was asked to me was like, you know, what's like a safe way to like date where your body isn't necessarily going to be criticized? And I was like, I don't think that exists, right? Safety is a construct. And if there is a vulnerability in dating. And what I said I would rather people do is create a plan that in the event somebody is a jerk or somebody does accost you, that you have the tools to move through it. And I know for myself, I waited for so long to just do the thing. I kept waiting to date until my body changed. And when I realized my body isn't going to stay in that quote unquote changed body, so every time I lose weight, I'm like, okay, now I can do it. I had to either not do it and just be okay with that choice or do the scary thing.
And it is a scary thing. Putting yourself out there, being vulnerable in any context is scary.
Yeah.
I think that in dating, that's amplified even more because we have such hope and expectations for validation and affection and affirmation from somebody else oftentimes because we expect that in romantic relationships, which is a good, natural, and healthy thing. And if you haven't been dating a long time or you finally haven't been close to somebody, there is a hunger for that.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't come, that void feels even bigger because you expected it to come. And that is almost harder to deal with. For me, I found leaving a relationship was almost harder because I was so afraid of having that absence in my life.
Yeah.
Because I remembered what it was like to be accepted and affirmed. And then when it wasn't there, it was glaringly obvious. It's like that feeling when you jump in a diet culture, you lose the weight, and all of a sudden everybody notices you and they're really, oh my God, you look amazing.
Yeah.
And then if you gain the weight back, that goes away. And that sinking, awful feeling is magnified in the context of a dating relationship because you're so close to somebody else. And you are progressively and appropriately opening up your life and your heart to them. And it feels like such a much deeper personal wound because they know you.
Yeah, it's almost like, okay, now they accepted your body and then they got to know your personality. And then they were like, yeah, this isn't working. It is rejection. And what I can tell you is, even just not from a dating perspective, from a personal perspective, rejection is hard. Not being chosen or it not being a good fit, it's going to hurt. But there is no relationship. There is no safety from not experiencing rejection. And what the key is being able to maneuver through when you experience that. And it's hard not to take that personally. And I think especially as folks in larger bodies, there are more stories about why that's happening. I want to keep it realistic that, like, I'm sure that the relationship you have with Tim has not been only sunshine and rainbows and butterflies. I'm sure there have been hard times and there have been things as a plus size couple that I'm sure you've had to experience that are hard.
Yeah. I think one of the beautiful but also difficult things has been in that year that Tim and I met, we traveled a lot because we could. We were in a place that we could travel, but having to navigate airlines and airplane seats and buying an extra seat and asking for accommodations and places to get accessible seating, making sure that we were comfortable and safe in the places that we went, in theaters and stadiums and restaurants. And it's not always comfortable.
Yeah.
But what I will say is the experience is always worth it. How great was that ball game where we got really good seats and we got to like enjoy our team do their thing? There's nothing like it. But yeah, it was uncomfortable to tell the usher, yes, you put us in accessible seating, but that folding chair is broken. We need a chair that actually is not broken, please. How can I help you help me get a chair that is not broken? So yeah, those things are tough and tricky. And that plays even into like when we started doing wedding stuff and the amount of labor it took to find something to wear on my wedding day or to find and tailor a suit for him, because my husband also lives in a larger body. And so all of those things aren't without the labor. It just makes it sweeter on the other side. That doesn't mean it didn't suck in the middle sometimes. But I'm sitting here truly looking at some of my wedding pictures, and I am so grateful we put the work in for both of us to wear something we loved and that we were comfortable in. Yeah. And we put the effort in and we had the privilege of being able to have the resources to be able to do that.
It was a beautiful day. And if you asked me to officiate your wedding, I mean, I still can't believe that that happened. But what made you ask me to officiate the wedding?
I can't remember if Tim or I suggested. I feel like he did. It started as a like, well, who we're going to get to marry us? Well, Bree's kind of the reason I met you. And I haven't really ever met her in person. So, I mean, I guess this is a twofer.
Yeah. It's such an honor. Did I tell you that Tim pulled me aside the night before the wedding?
I saw you two talking, but my head was like deep in fix it, decorate land.
Honestly, your whole wedding was like, it just was splashed with Shanae. Like, I didn't know Tim, but I knew you. And I was just like, this is so personal, so thoughtful. It was so beautiful. So the night before your wedding, I'm meeting you in real life for the first time. And I met Tim for the first time ever. And he pulls me aside and he goes, hey, I know I don't know you, but he said, you are so important to Shanae. So that means that you're important to me. And I just have to thank you so much for whatever you did to get her to do the thing, because I'm so grateful to have met her. And I can't wait to get to know you better. I legit started crying. I've known and loved you for so long that to be able to see somebody else see that in you and want to protect you and want to advocate for you. I will tell you that your wedding was one of the things for even myself to be like, hey, just because you don't have evidence that this happens a lot doesn't mean that it doesn't happen, and it can happen for you. And I can tell you till I'm blue in the face, I know that you are worthy and deserving of love, and you are smart and intelligent, and somebody is going to benefit from being in relationship with you. And I also just want to normalize that there's no shame in not doing the thing. What I don't want people to do is not do the thing because they think it can't happen for me.
Those are two very different things.
Yeah.
In my long history of online dating, most of which was not fruitful, I frequently took long breaks because I realized it was putting me in a bad place mentally.
Lily Womble, Date Brazen, says that online dating can be abrasive to your nervous system. And so that if you have trauma every time you're going on to those dating sites, then maybe we take an intentional break. But it's not taking an intentional break. And what does it look like to connect to yourself? What does it look like to be sexy for yourself? What does it look like to enjoy spending time with yourself? Finding what lights you up, what makes you happy. If you're not doing it with someone else, that's fine. Do it with yourself. Don't put your life on hold because you don't have a partner, because you don't have a date. Do the thing. And if it happens and when it happens, it will be a value add into your life and not a this will complete me life.
Exactly. For me, Tim is a wonderful addition to my life. He's the thing that I didn't know could bring so much joy and peace and reassurance and all of those wonderful, lovey feelings, because he really is an amazing human. But also, I had a whole, full, rich life, and I added him to it. He had a whole, full, rich life prior to me, and I added to that. And so we bring this new thing together. I think the best way I can talk about it is like sculpture. If like you have your lump of clay, just like slap another side piece on. But together, we created something different and integrated those two parts of each other in our lives and ourselves to grow together and make that commitment to grow together. And I think that in preparation for continuing to date and continue to have a long-term relationship, you need to know how to be alone.
Yeah.
You need to know how to do the work on yourself. Because in marriage, you still have to work on yourself. Putting a ring on your finger doesn't magically fix all your quirks and hangups and fears and idiosyncrasies and insecurities. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. We still have days that we struggle in our heart. I still have days where I feel like I am not doing enough. And what I'll tell you is some of those insecurities transfer from my appearance to I'm not doing enough housework. I'm not making good enough dinners. I'm not fill in the blank. It's recognizing that pattern and cutting it off of the knees before it could take over, because it's not just about dating. It's not just about a relationship. It's where else and how else does this show up in your life?
It's like a new gremlin thought moves from dating to now, am I a good housewife? Am I a good mom? Am I a good nurse practitioner? Like it just finds a new place to nest.
You have to learn how to recognize those patterns, right? So you can cut it off sooner and quicker. It may just put on a different costume, but it's the same gremlin. It just pops up in like whack-a-mole. Somebody's up.
Exactly. And that's the work. That's the body image excavation, or the dig, as we call it here. But, you know, I remember in your vows to each other, one of the things you said was, we're going to have a family, however that looks. And did you know that you guys were going to have kids?
We knew we wanted kids. We didn't know how those children would come to us via adoption, foster, biological birth, surrogacy. We just didn't know for a variety of reasons. Health, finances, family, otherwise. And we were very much open to however kids came, they came. Child or children, I should say.
Yeah.
3 weeks after our wedding, we were on webinars learning what it would take to be foster parents.
Wow.
Because that was something we knew we were interested in and we wanted to do. That was something we were in the process of doing when I found out I was pregnant.
And to say, like, found out you were pregnant in a large body.
In a large body. And that's a whole topic in and of itself.
I'll have you back for another episode.
Yeah. Pregnant in a larger body. Who had told she probably wouldn't be able to have kids.
Like literally every time that I would go to the doctor, I'd be like, but if you're going to want to have kids one day, you're not going to be able to do that in a large body. And you are evidence that that is not true.
Fat bodies get pregnant all the time.
Amen.
And going through a high-risk pregnancy and birth itself, where you don't get to be in control really of a whole lot, but you do get to use your voice to advocate for yourself and learning how to confront that health anxiety to realize that health doesn't look like one prescriptive way. And you can't judge somebody's health just by simply the way that they look. And health is so much more than a number on a scale or a single lab value. It may look different. It may be different. You may need different things, but that doesn't mean you can't have a safe, healthy pregnancy. Doesn't mean you may not have a baby on the other end. That doesn't mean you won't have heartbreak in the middle of miscarriage or infant loss. But all those happen to straight sized people too. That is the continuum, the mystery of human procreation, that we have so little control over it, but it's wonderful. And this body, this present body I have today, has seen me through some stuff. It let me meet my amazing husband. It lets me do my job every day. the body I walked down the aisle in is not the body I have today. The body I had 16 weeks ago before I had this baby is not the body I have today. But this body's done a whole lot of good work. I live my life today in this body today, not the body I think I'm going to have later, because it's never static, it's always changing.
If you could leave listeners with just a final thought on plus size love, on doing the scary thing in a large body, what would you leave folks with?
It can be hard. It can be scary. It can be wonderful. It can be everywhere in between. But I think it's less about the outcome and more about the journey. Because what did I learn about myself in the process? What did I contribute in the process to others? Is it hard? Yes. Is it worth it? Yes. The body that you're in today is the body that takes you everywhere, that loves you and holds you and cares for you, that you live your life in now. And life happens today. Don't let it slip away too fast.
And I would leave folks with, it's both and. Like, it is hard to date, fall in love, get pregnant, have a baby in a large body, especially in facing like medical fat phobia. And it happens a lot more than you think. Don't think of yourself as the exception to the rule. This can't happen for me. But instead think, what if this could happen for me? Shanae, I love you. I love your family. And I'm so grateful for your willingness to talk about this. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.